Plays out lanes by exits 6 and 5, and also slow exit 3 for the Spring Brook. Hutch northbound slows up by the Cross County Parkway. The ride south not too bad, down by 287. Sprain is fine north and south by the 287 exits. No delays with Metro North or the B-Line buses. Your update is brought to you by Gospel on Broadway. Gospel on Broadway, benefit concert, November 10th at Symphony Space Theater with Melanie Daniels, Youthful Praise, J.C. Thompson, and Beyond Blessed. For tickets, go to symphonyspace.org. Glorifying God, Gospel on Broadway. For a check now on your forecast, we check in with meteorologist Tommy Ells.
Unseasonably mild fall weather will continue through Saturday, then turning colder for the latter half of the weekend. Tonight, mostly clear, breezy, 45 to 50. Sunshine for Friday, mid-60s. Friday night, partly cloudy, down around the mid-40s. Saturday, increasing clouds, breezy, warm, 70. A period of rain moving in at night. And Sunday, clearing, windy, cooler, 50 to 55. This is meteorologist Tommy Ells from the WFAS Weather Center.
Thank you, Tommy. Right now it is 55 degrees. I'm Bob Barnum, back in half an hour. Right now it's time for Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney on AM 1230 WFAS.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of Mind with Lip Men Cook.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And this week our guest is Rick Swirat from Westchester Arc. Welcome, Rick.
Good evening, Bernie. Great to be here.
It is fantastic to have you here, Rick. And I'm sure the listeners want to know, what is Westchester Arc? Is that the same organization we used to know as AHRC?
Well, that was a name that we used many, many years ago. You know, we're 57 years old. The organization is one that was founded by families of people with developmental disabilities back in 1949. And it's still a family-run organization in the sense that the board of directors are all family members or people with disabilities themselves. And we provide services for people of all ages with developmental disabilities of various sorts.
So Westchester ARC used to be called AHRC.
We were called AHRC, then we were called ARC. We were once the Association for Retarded Children, then the Association for Retarded Citizens. We've gone through various iterations of these names, largely to recognize at that period of time how our people have grown in name and I should say in age, and also in the kinds of respect we have for how people like to be referred to.
Now you're located right here in Westchester, right?
Yes, we're in Westchester. That's our territory that we're responsible for, but our main office is in White Plains.
And is Westchester Arc affiliated with a statewide organization or a national organization?
Well, we are a chapter of a statewide corporation referred to as NYSARC. And there are 58 chapters throughout the state of New York that are given responsibility for the area, the county that in which they have they're headquartered in. In the meantime, we're also affiliated as an association with the national organization referred to as the ARC of the United States.
So if we looked at like this as a corporate structure, you'd have on top the ARC of the United States, then NYSARC, and then Westchester ARC?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yes.
And that would be on the same level as the ARCs of the other counties?
Yes, it's pretty much the way we operate.
And your position at Westchester ARC is?
I'm the executive director. I've been there for 23 years.
23 years. And what does an executive director do? Or should I ask, what doesn't he do?
I think an executive director does whatever the staff and the family members ask them to do. My responsibility is largely to the board of directors. The board of directors sets policy, direction, strategic planning, and budgetary goals for the organization. And it's my responsibility to work with the staff to implement these in a way that is respectful and makes the organization run smoothly and does the things that the board really wants done on behalf of people with developmental disabilities. possibilities.
So you've been there a long time, almost half the time that it's been in existence.
Yeah, I'm the longest serving executive director for Westchester, but I've been with the NYSARC organization for over 35 years. I was up in Sullivan County for some time. I ran programs up there and worked in residences and day treatment programs, and I was executive director in Ulster County, which is Kingston, New York, is Ulster County. And then I had the fortune of coming down here to Westchester.
So what's your connection to all this?
That's an interesting question. In the field of developmental disabilities, there's various ways people end up coming into these jobs. One way is, of course, you could be a family member of somebody with developmental disabilities or have some association. Another way is through volunteer work, and I'm from the 60s. I was a student in the 60s and still trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I had a degree that I was finishing up in that I all of a sudden decided that it was probably not for me. I was looking at criminology at that point, and finishing up that degree decided that's not what I wanted to do. I had a friend who was a special education teacher, and he had a classroom, so I started volunteering in his classroom, and I fell in love with the idea of teaching kids, at that time referred to as mentally retarded kids, and decided very quickly that was really for me.
So mentally retarded is no longer a politically correct term?
No, it isn't, and it's largely because, as we know, in language, in society, takes on bad connotations. There's many words that have, over the years, take on bad connotations, and mental retardation is one of them. So in respect to the individuals that we work with, we try, first of all, to use people-first language. That is, a person should not be known by their disability or by the color of their hair or anything else. They should be known as a person. So we refer to people with developmental disabilities as our preferable way.
So the term disabled child would not be correct?
It would not be correct because you have identified the disability before you've identified the fact that this is a child.
So a better way to say it might be a child with disability.
That's absolutely correct, Bernie, yes. And that's true basically of anything else we talk about in our society. Although maybe an adult being a lawyer, would that I don't know how that works.
Well, lawyers are special.
Okay.
But no, seriously, and I think this is an important point, which is why we're spending some time on it. These are people,
yes.
And they're people first. And I think, unfortunately, maybe society still has a long way to go in recognizing that fact. And I think, through the work of organizations like the Westchester ARC and others, we'll get there, but we still got our work cut out for us.
We sure do. I mean, we still hear stories of folks who have children with disabilities, and upon their birth, they're given some very strange advice. Years ago, it was not unusual to hear a family member come to us and say, I just had a child, and the doctor told us to tell our family that the child died in childbirth and put him away in an institution and just forget about the child. And there's many stories like that. Unfortunately, and that hurts people. It hurts the way they think about their family members. But as we have moved through our discovery, and really there's a lot of things that we have discovered about people with disabilities, they have shown us that they have many talents, many skills. And as we have continued to provide the services that we provide, we have learned to adapt our services in such a way as to look at the individual from a standpoint of talent, not from the standpoint of the disability.
Well, I think that probably goes a long way towards the self-esteem. Yes. And the child's ability to just function in the world.
Well, all of us look to build on our talents, and there's many things that I can't do. And if I were to spend all my time thinking about all the things that I can't do and being identified by all the things I can't do, I probably would never accomplish what I do do. And that's true of people with disabilities. If we concentrate and keep looking at this diagnosis-type approach, the only thing you ever identify is all the things a person cannot do. And that really is not helpful in trying to identify where a person can fit into society, where they can fit in the community, how they can be a citizen.
Now, those are very profound words. Of course, we're in radio, so those of you out there can't tell, but both Rick and I are wearing eyeglasses.
Yes.
And we sort of take for granted, but, that's a disability in and of itself.
Absolutely. Well, I have a lot of different disabilities. One of what I use this as I talk to my staff about why it's important to have people supporting people with disabilities in their lives. I learned a long time ago that I cannot do my own income taxes, and that I learned that very quickly when I was called in by the IRS and had an audit done on something that I had calculated wrong in my taxes, and now I use a tax attorney and to help me with my taxes. That's my disability. And in the same way, people with disabilities that we serve oftentimes require staff to assist them in different ways, whether it's by mobilizing them and getting them out into the community, helping them with their bank accounts, or helping them in terms of understanding and navigate various kinds of reading material. There's nothing wrong with that. All of us use people to help us. I wouldn't even try to fix my car nowadays. So there's lots of things that all of us use every day to support our lives. Why should a person with disabilities be any different?
Yeah, and what actually is attractive to me, or has attracted me into the field, is that these people didn't choose to have these disabilities. I mean, they were just, God decided that this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
And, from my standpoint, whatever we can do to make the world a better place, it's worth doing.
And we find that as we talk to these folks, we get some very profound messages. Just before the elections, we had a meeting of about approximately 75. We referred to them as self-advocates, individuals who are very active in the political scene, by the way. They are all registered voters. And they spent time with one of the candidates here in the community and asked some very profound questions of this individual. Things having to do with medical insurance, transportation and accessibility to the community, the Voter Rights Act. And they really did surprise this individual at how much they understood. So we can't kind of discount people right away just because they have a label of some kind of disability, because they're still thinking and they're still positive citizens in the community.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're speaking with Rick Swirat, who's the executive director of the Westchester ARC, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family, and unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're talking to Rick Swirat, the Executive Director of Westchester ARC. And Rick, before the break, we were talking about how the ARC has a board of directors. How do these people get selected?
Well, Bernie, a lot of our family members are actually members of committees that we have. We have 17 or 18 committees of our board of directors, and these committees are all directed towards quality improvement. We take a look at the services we provide, how we provide it, how we communicate in the community, and these family members do provide guidance in terms, and many of them are business people in the community or have other professional experiences. As they get interested in the organization, our nominating committee keeps track of what they're doing and thinking about and offer them opportunities to join the board as an official member. Also, we try to make sure that our board represents all what's referred to as stakeholders in our organization. We serve people from birth through senior years, and we look to have family members who represent all those different kinds of services and age groups, because really you need some advocacy. We also have siblings on the board, which is something fairly new in the field. We've been trying to encourage the development of sibling leadership, that is the brother or sister of people who have developmental disabilities. Oftentimes mom and dad may pass on and the sibling's left with some responsibility. Also, we have two self-advocates on the board. These are people that are receiving services from us right now or who had received services in the past and now are representing their peers to the organization.
So you mentioned mom and dad passing on, and I know as an attorney practicing in this area, I know people don't like to think about that. It's uncomfortable. They don't like to think about their own mortality. And then when there's a child with disabilities, it really just complicates things that much further. What actually can a parent do? I mean, where will a child live when the parents are no longer there?
Well, fortunately, there's organizations like us around, but, you know, even before they started planning, you're right, people don't like to think about it. And also, as you know, in the state of New York, the age of majority is 18, and regardless of whether somebody has a very severe disability and ability to have the cognitive ability to make decisions, if they reach the age of majority at 18 and nobody's taking guardianship, they're on their own. They can sign contracts, they can do all kinds of things that you and I can do, and oftentimes make mistakes. So it's awfully important for family members to start thinking about this early on, and having discussions with the siblings of this individual, and talk about things like guardianship and planning for the future. And we have the largest guardianship program in the state of New York, where we assist family members have those kinds of conversations and think in advance about this 18th birthday, and making sure that if somebody does need guardianship, that it's there for them, that there are succession rights in that guardianship, so that the brother or sister or aunt or uncle or whoever else in the family can take over. And then we are at the end of that succession. And right now we have about 55 individuals who I remind my family when I go home for the holidays that they get my 55 children here get their presents first before I get holiday gifts for my kids, because I'm the responsible party in the organization to make sure, along with our guardianship committee, that their lives are overseen in a way that they can live comfortably in the community.
So we've got these great programs, it sounds like, that are in place, but they really wouldn't be worth much unless people knew about them. What are we doing to make sure we get the word out that these services are available?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. First of all, we have a very extensive newsletter and public relations campaign. Some of you folks may have seen some of the newspaper articles we've had over the last couple of weeks. We've been very fortunate. The Journal News in particular has been a big supporter of our story. We had a huge story a couple of weeks ago about self-advocates and their role in the community. We also have a very, very active website that we're very, very proud of. It's westchesterarc.org. And that site has changed every day. We have new articles up there every day. We have a blog set up in the we're very modern now. I had to learn what a blog was, but my staff have now convinced me that this is a great thing. And we do have a series of blogs on this website where we have discussions about issues having to do with everything from autism to transitioning young people from school to work. Or talking about some of the medical issues that folks have to make decisions about.
Now, all these services that you provide, is there any fee for these services?
No, there are no fees. The majority of our funding comes from Medicaid. However, there are other funding sources that we take advantage of, and we also have a very extensive fundraising campaign. For instance, the guardianship program, which costs us about $180,000 a year, is totally supported by fundraising activity. There are no fees attached to that program whatsoever. There's no governmental funds in that program either.
So tell me about some of the fundraisers.
Well, we just finished a very successful one called The Matter of Taste that was at the Westchester Country Club. We raised over $100,000 at that event. We were involved with a very large bond security company called MBIA, and MBIA every year puts on a huge golf and tennis invitational. We actually split those proceeds between Special Olympics and ourselves. We were a very strong partner with Special Olympics. And then we have other kinds of events, not so much events, but activities throughout the year around capital campaigns. We talk to donors in the community in terms of thinking about leaving their wills behind on our behalf, estates and things of that sort.
Are you active in the grant arena? Are you filing for any grants?
We do file for grants where we think that they could help us. Just recently, MasterCard gave us a very sizable grant to help support some part of our guardianship services. We have other grants throughout the year that we do apply for as well.
And typically when you receive money, whether it's through a grant or somebody leaves money in their will, is it generally used for the general corporate purposes, or do people specify how they want you to use the money?
Well, not only do they specify, it is our internal policy is that monies that come in go directly into the services. Our administration is very, very low in our organization. Generally, in not-for-profits, the thumbnail or benchmark is anywhere from 18 to 30% in administration. We run at 10%. And it's been the philosophy of our board of directors that the majority of the money that we bring into our organization must go into services.
So let me just make sure the listeners understand this. So if somebody gives $100 to another charity, anywhere from 82 cents down to 60-something cents will be actually spent on the charitable purposes.
Right.
But at Westchester Arc, a $100 contribution will result in $90.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. That makes me feel good about the organization.
I mean, there are things that have to be done from an administration standpoint, and we know that we need to cover that. We need to have a financial department that needs to file our books and things of that sort. But we try to keep that down to a minimum.
We're speaking with Rick Swirat, the executive director of Westchester Arc. I'm Bernie Crooks, and we're going to take a short break.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, and we're speaking with Rick Swirat from Westchester Arc. And Rick, I know one of the goals and mission of Westchester Arc is to allow people with disabilities to lead the most fulfilling life possible. And certainly, although we hate to admit it, working is part of life. What steps are we taking to make sure that happens in the workplace?
Well, we have a very strong work program where we encourage local employers to think about the kinds of jobs that could be provided for people with disabilities in their workplace. We have learned over the years that the best way to learn about work is to go out into the community, not to learn about it in a sheltered environment like we used to in the past. And people identify their own self-worth based on work. We were talking about this today with our staff during an orientation program. How much of our life is based, our life identity is based on our job. When you introduce yourself, you introduce yourself as an attorney. I may introduce myself as a special educator. Those are important values. Many of our people introduce themselves when they have a job as a food service worker or somebody who works in an attorney's office. I know you have some folks in your office. We have folks in local stores. We've had people in local medical offices. And they often choose their jobs because they want to have the kind of identity that those jobs give to them.
But this is a job. It's not charity, right?
No, it's a job. These are real jobs, and people make real money. And there are many places and parts of jobs in the community today where, and I know in your organization, where you can't get them done through a typical secretarial administrative assistant staff. As a matter of fact, many of us don't have secretaries any longer. We do our own work. But then, who does the copying? Who does the filing? Who does the movement around in the office of the things that need to be moved? Very often, those are the kinds of jobs that we're very happy to do some training around and bring people in, and they feel that they're contributing to the business because they're creating value added to you where you couldn't get that work done otherwise.
I can speak from personal experience here. As you know, Rick, there's tremendous value added to our business by having done this.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about, if an employer was interested in doing this, how would they find out more?
Well, first of all, you can go right to our website. We do have a lot of information for employers on the website, and again, that's westchesterarc.org. Or you could call us, and if you call our main number at 428-8330, just ask for either our employer or career development areas, and we'd be very happy to talk to any employer about this. You know, Bernie, you were talking about value added. A number of years ago, we were working with the Con Ed Corporation, and we introduced them to the concept of recycling a lot of their down lines and the transformers used to come down during storms by tearing them apart into different elements. Con Ed was a very good company, and they gave us this job thinking that they were doing something charitable for us. And this was back many, many years ago. And I remember one day sitting at my desk, and this was after six weeks of this job going on, the president of the local Con Ed called me up and said, I have to talk to you about something. It's kind of embarrassing. And I thought, oh, geez, we're going to lose this job. And he said, no, you know, he says, not only is this a wonderful job and we feel very happy your people are here, we're making a profit because of what you folks have done for us. We're now selling materials at a higher rate, and I have to give you guys an increase. It was the most wonderful. I use this story all the time because that's what happens with employers. They find out that we add value to their business.
And do you have someone on staff who makes sure it's a good match?
We have a whole bunch of people. We go in, we evaluate the employer area, we'll bring people in and try them out. We have job coaches that come in and learn the job side by side with the individuals that we're going to eventually place in these jobs. And they're there. They're almost like your mini HR department because they come in, they do the training, they do the supervision. They may fade away for a while, but if you have problems, you can call them back. And it's like having a whole temporary service given to your office.
And there's very little, if any, risk to the employer because if it doesn't work out, then the person doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, the person doesn't work anymore, and we'll try to find somebody else to fill in the job.
Okay, I mean, I can only tell you it's been a godsend for us, and we're really enjoying it.
We're really happy to hear that.
So, you know, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Rick. And, Rick, we're going to get into some of the wonderful staff you have working over there.
Okay, Bert.
We'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Littman Crooks, in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, and obviously by now we can all recognize that Westchester Arc is quite an amazing success story and just a tribute to the hardworking individuals there. And Rick, let's spend a couple of minutes. How many people are working there, and,